So I don't know about you, but the people that I talk to in the circles that I travel in, whether it's here at church or in my family, friends in my neighborhood, everyone seems to be suffering from the same malady these days. And it goes something like this. I'm so tired. Now, tell me, is that just me, or have you seen that as well? Have you, like this week, have you run into somebody that said that? Have you been somebody who has said that? Yes, right? We sort of all suffer from this. Our lives are kind of overextended. We have lots to do. I look at the young moms in our congregation that are raising kids and trying to get them to all the different activities. I look at the dads that are rushing home from a long day at work and trying to coach soccer and be involved. And I look at so many of you who give yourselves, not only here at the church, but you give yourself to so many good things in the community. And I just know your schedules are full, and I know your lives are full and rich, but sometimes we are just plain tired. And we sometimes wear that as a badge of honor, don't we? Let's be honest. Like, I'm more tired than you, right? I've got more on my plate than you, but we even have sweatshirts about it, apparently. Some of the times we end up looking like this, right? There's a study that I read this week that 43% of us, at least, have admitted that we are too tired to do our jobs effectively when we go to work. Like, we are just so tired with everything else going on in our lives, especially late in the afternoon. My guess would be like 2 o'clock. This is the 2 o'clock picture, right? Right after lunch, when the energy level has gone down low a little bit. And then we may have never gotten quite to that point, but you know what it feels like, right? To be exhausted. So we turn to what? Coffee. How many of you are coffee drinkers? Come on, be honest. How many of you drink more than 3 cups a day? A couple, yeah, that's all right. And so if that's not strong enough, because Starbucks coffee is kind of on the strong side, then we turn to espresso. And if that's not strong enough, then we have these little bottles that look like this, right? These little 5-hour bursts of energy. I'm sure it's totally organic and totally good for you. not, right? And so, but we feel like we need to resort to these things because we are just tired. We're just exhausted. And so we keep ourselves going. Now, there is no dearth of advice out there for how we could raise our energy levels. There are products, clearly, but there are also magazine articles and websites, and there are books, and I can guarantee you could probably go to the Safeway today on your way home from church, and in that aisle there'll be at least one article telling you this: 4 ways to increase your energy, 10 ways to skyrocket with energy levels, 5 ways to increase your energy and well-being, 10 ways to increase your energy level. Right? Everyone wants to tell us how to do it. And if you read those lists, there's some commonalities and some common sense along the way. Right? What do you guess is on that list? Like, get more sleep. Like, hydrate, drink more water. Eat a more balanced diet so that we're not just consuming too much sugar that kind of pumps us up and then crashes us low. And get more exercise, right? So you can predict some of the things that are going to be on those lists. I went looking at some of these lists and some of these articles this week. I did the research for you. And there were some strange things that I learned as well as some helpful things. Like, did you know that if you really want to get benefit out of your coffee, you should be mixing it with mushrooms? Yuck. That sounds like yuck to me. I don't know about you. But this is the mushroom coffee mix, dark roast ground with lion's mane and chaga mushrooms, right? But apparently it's supposed to balance itself and give you more healthy energy, take out some of the bad stuff and counteract some of the bad effects. Also, if you are drinking coffee, I'm not a coffee drinker, I'm a tea drinker, iced tea in the summer, hot tea in the winter. But if you are drinking coffee, they say the best time to do that is not first thing in the morning. Do it at 10:30 in the morning. It'll work with your biorhythms better. It'll actually have more effect if you do it then. So that's one helpful tip. If you learned nothing else from my sermon today, maybe you learned when to drink your coffee. This one is something I've started to see a little bit more. How many of you spend a lot of time in front of a computer screen or a phone screen over the course of the day, right? We all have screenitis, right? We have so many hours that we are looking at a screen that our eyes literally glaze over. And they have discovered that we don't blink as much when we look at a screen, and that's not healthy. Like, normally we blink, I forget how many times per minute, but when we're staring at a screen, it's like half that many. So at the end of the night, our eyes are dry, right? We're feeling more tired, our eyes are tired, and we're more tired. And so there's this 20-20-20 routine that's suggested. Every 20 minutes, take a 20-second break and look 20 feet away so you're not looking like this, right? You're looking out there on the horizon. It adjusts everything. It kind of refreshes you. So if you have to spend time in front of a screen, do this. That might be the thing worth remembering for my sermon today. Or you could remember Paul, because I think Paul has something way more important to say than caffeine, or way more than a tip for how you look at your computer screen. Paul seems to offer an antidote that is longer lasting than 5 hours. Paul says in the second chapter of Philippians, and that we've been spending all these weeks in Philippians, I hope you have fallen in love with this book. It's a good, rich book. It's short, but it's so, so rich. Paul says, better yet, redouble your efforts. He's just told them that you've been faithful and obedient since the first time I was with you. Now keep doing the good you're doing. And now, better yet, redouble your efforts, which for some of us, we look at that and we say, oh my gosh, I'm just going to get more tired if I just have to redouble my efforts. How is Paul going to help me out if that's his advice? Keep going. He says, be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. And here's the key. He says that energy is not self-generated. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give God the most pleasure. You see the difference, friends? It's not just self-generated energy or caffeine-generated energy or all of these best practices of our, you know, balancing our lives. All those things will help, but if we want to live lives that are energized and purposeful, we're going to tap into God's energy. It's God's energy within you, God's spirit within you. This is what Paul says in Philippians 4:13. How many of you have this verse underlined or highlighted in your Bible or up on a wall somewhere or on a bookmark? I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not I can do all things, period. It's, I can do all things, God's power in Christ working through me. You see the difference? So what Paul is suggesting is that there is this power available to us if we will trust it. That means we have to first say, I can't just trust myself. I need help, right? That's a hard thing for a lot of us to say. And so we have to reach out for it. And we tend to our own souls and our own self, our well-being, by praying, by studying scripture, by what Wesley called the means of grace. Coming together in worship is one of those means of grace. It's how we renew our energy in Christ. When we gather together, we gain energy from each other. The Christ in you greets the Christ in me, right? So there's this trusting and this tending. We have to turn inward so that we have the energy and strength to turn outward. We have to turn inward and tap into this deep reservoir of God's Spirit. We tap into God's Spirit rather than trying to go solo, right? That's the difference. That's what Paul's advice is. That's the attitude adjustment that I'm suggesting for you today. It's how we move from living a life where we feel burned out all the time to living a life where we feel fueled and aflame from within. It's because we don't all self-generate that. We tap into Christ within us. Now he goes on to say, if we would live like that, then we will be like a breath of fresh air for the world. Because the world is so busy being tired, it notices people who are fully alive, right? Do you have people in your life who are a breath of fresh air that would describe somebody for you in your life? Like when you have a conversation with them or you just spend time with them, you feel renewed and energized. You feel like somehow God's presence has been in that encounter, right? And some of you offer that to others, I would say, more than you know. Some of you are in a position to offer that on a regular basis to your students or to your families or to your friends. A breath of fresh air. And what would it be like if this congregation were known in the community as a place where people can come or be engaged in, and it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like a renewal of spirit. What would it be like if we were known for that? They say kindness is being a breath of fresh air to someone else when they feel like they are suffocating. Friends, there are a lot of people who are having trouble breathing out there. There are a lot of people out there who are even more tired than you are. Because life is hard. And you have the potential, allowing God's Spirit in you, to be a breath of fresh air to someone else, Paul says. Isn't that exciting to think that that could be you, that could be us? Paul goes on to say this, that when we tap into God's Spirit, when we live in God's energy, allow it to flow and course through our bodies and our witness and our lives, then we provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. That's it. We provide people with a glimpse of this is a whole life. This is a life of somebody who is fully alive, living in God's presence. What a great privilege that is, and what a great invitation that is, that we are called to be that in the world. Now, some of you know that I like pictures. I like to take pictures, and I love to look at pictures, and one of my favorite things to do at this time of the year, and I get to do it every year, is sort of look back with you, and sometimes for you, in terms of where we've been as a congregation. We have this thing called church conference or charge conference every year where we're asked to report out to the district superintendent and to the Baltimore-Washington Conference and to the church what we've been about. What have we been spending your money on? What have we been doing collectively together as a church? How have we been witnessing in our community? How have we been teaching the children? How have we been forming disciples? And this is the cover of our report, the pastor's report this year, to our church conference. And just look at those scenes. We are scenes of worship, and there are scenes with our kids with blessing their backpacks and the garage sale and our youth at ASP and our VIM team and Vacation Bible School. And do you remember the Ash Wednesday service when we get to regenerate our lives that way and being singing in worship and singing for annual conference? And you remember those frames that we did this year too, and all those picture frames that we held up? Love our church. SPMC rocks, right? I see the celebrities right there over that. And they are row 1, 2, 3 in this section, okay? So it is so much fun to get to sit in that seat where I get to sit and to share that with you. And today when you come forward, if you choose to come forward and make a commitment to our church, you're going to see scenes from the whole life of the church. Not every single thing, but a lot of the things that we're involved in. We get to see scenes of your commitment to kids and to youth and to older adults and to people in our church and many, many people outside of our church. You know, it's not just about serving those who are here. It is about serving those who God calls us to serve in our community and in the world. Called the slideshow this year, Love Come to Life, and you're going to hear words from that song. I wanted to put some of these words up so just reflect on them as you're coming forward. I've been restless on the inside, wondering about this heart of mine. I've been desperately trying to find a way to prove that I'm still alive. Friends, the world does not need more people who are sleepwalking, needing to prove that they're still alive. The world is crying out for people who are full of life. And I see so many of you that are full of life here. I see Christ in you. I see God's Spirit at work in us. It is so exciting, and we invite you to be part of that, not only now, but into next year as well. And so this is the prayer as you fill out a card today. This card is about a financial commitment, and we hope that you will give generously. But it's also about a worship commitment, and it's about a studying commitment, and it's about a being in community kind of commitment, and it is about a serving commitment. It's about God bringing love to life in us. Bring your love to life inside of me. Why don't you break my heart till it moves my hands and feet? For the hopeless and the broken, for the ones that don't know that you love them. Bring your love to life inside of me. Friends, I am grateful for all the ways that we get to experience that here. All the ways that God has worked in us and the ways that God has still yet to do work in us. Keep doing it, Paul says. Keep doing the good that you're doing. And the only way you're going to have power and energy and strength to keep on keeping on, tap into the Spirit. I can do all things, not on my own, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May God be in your commitments, and may God be in our doing, and may God be in our loving, and may God be in our serving. May God be in our lives as we offer ourselves to the world. Amen.